Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Kevin Harlan on the program is presented by Buck Roofing. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. 913-384-2680 or rbuckroofing.com. And by Metcalf CarStar. If you get in a fender bender, call the experts in collision repair. Metcalf CarStar in Overland Park. Go to carstar.com and search Metcalf CarStar. Metcalf CarStar. Relax, we'll take it from here.
He calls the NBA. NFL.
He digs, he turns, he dives. It is a touchdown.
March Madness.
There's a new member of the Final Four Club, and they hail from Lubbock, Texas.
And even this.
He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. The guy is drunk.
How many jobs Kevin got?
Somebody stop that
man.
Here
comes the blue coat.
Oh,
Kevin.
They got him.
He's the voice of America, Kevin Harlan.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Fourth quarter of the program begins right now, finishing strong. As always, one of the best in the business, our man Kevin Harlan, going to join us here on the Sprint guest line. I am at Hen House, 15,000 West 87th Street. That is where you can find us in Lenexa, Kansas, at the Hen House, one of the great hen houses around the metro area. And, of course, today we're here talking about the CBD American Chamonix Sparkling Waters. They're available at all Hen House locations. Two great flavors, sparkling coconut water with grapefruit and the sparkling watermelon juice with strawberry lime. You can check it out right here at your neighborhood Hen House. CBD American Shaman giving you 30% off today at all their stores. So head to a CBD American Shaman right now. You got till 6 o'clock, so about an hour left, and you can save 30% off on all their great products. Customers finding relief from pain, anxiety, inflammation, depression, PTSD, nausea, insomnia. Great pet products as well. We're talking about the highest quality full-spectrum cannabidiol on the market. It is CBD American Shaman. Their state-of-the-art nanotechnology increases the absorption and delivery time of the CBD to your bloodstream. It is the highest quality around. Don't be fooled by some gas station that's thrown CBD next to the cash register. It is not the same. Two doctors on staff, third-party lab tested, grown, processed, extracted right here in the U.S., and now a great, great sparkling water. Two different flavors, and you can try it here at your neighborhood hen house. Let's talk to our man, Kevin Harlan. He's on our Sprint guest line. Mr. Harlan, sir, how are you?
I'm great. I'm getting ready for a college game at Ohio State on Sunday between the Buckeyes, who did not look very good last night against Iowa. Actually, they ran into a very good Iowa team in the Big Ten, and they'll play Maryland on Sunday afternoon. And I'll be with Bill Raftery, who I always enjoy. It'll be our second game this season we've done together. So looking forward to kind of getting my college basketball hat on.
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned Maryland because – you know, one of the common themes we always get here is, well, if Bill Self goes, who's going to coach Kansas? And that name for a long time as he was rocketing through Wichita and into Texas A&M and turned that program around was Mark Turgeon. You don't hear his name that much. One is because he's not that young anymore, right? He's been around for a while. But is there a coach that maybe gets less credit for what he's accomplished than the job Mark Turgeon's done at Maryland?
You know, I did a game earlier, Saran, with Maryland at Indiana, and I said during the broadcast that he had been the coach of the year in three different conferences, the SEC, Missouri Valley at that time for Wichita State, certainly, and the Big Ten. And I think he's in his ninth year. I'd have to go back and look. I start working on my boards already, but I think he's in his ninth year, maybe less than that, but it's hard to believe he's been there that long. But he's recruiting well. He's got the program stabilized. Prior to him, you'd have to go back probably, to Gary Williams?
Yeah.
To find a coach that had that kind of success. Remember, they went with Bob Wade, who was a successful high school coach in the D.C. area, the Baltimore area, and that didn't work out and had some issues, actually. So Turgeon comes in. He stabilized the program. Terrific conference. At the time, they were not in the Big Ten. They were in the ACC. So, you know, here is it's very interesting that when you do a Big Ten game, and this will be my third that I've done this year, and I got a couple more coming up. You know, the conference is really strong. And, you know, it always used to be the ACC. And, of course, the Big 12 retains its position as one of the best in college basketball. But there's something about the Big Ten which has lured a lot of kids there, and I'm not really sure what it is. It can't be the weather because you're playing in Minneapolis, Ann Arbor, East Lansing, Columbus. You know, you're not playing Chicago. You're not playing in great weather. But I do think the bottom teams have risen a little bit and have become stronger. The good teams that have always kind of been competitive, the Iowas, certainly Wisconsin, have maintained. Rick Pitino's son, goes to in the Minneapolis and coaches for the Minnesota Golden Gophers. So you got the Izzos, and you got, you know, the mainstays in that conference. They did have John Beilein at Michigan, but then they put in Juwan Howard, and, you know, kids are enamored with him and the Fab Five, so his recruiting for next year has been terrific. So, you know, you're talking about a very interesting conference that I think if you asked college coaches, they would say, yeah, that's a destination. That now is not just a stepping stone. That is a destination conference to get to. And I think kind of Mark Turgeon felt the same thing. But, you know, they were in the ACC. They moved to the Big 12,
right.
Big 10, rather. And so it becomes a kind of a different story. But I think he's as happy there. And I think the school probably, although the history isn't there, but the school's got to be as happy in the Big Ten as they were Maryland in the ACC. And I think coaches feel the same way.
I just think that, you know, he didn't get enough credit for, one, changing leagues. You know, it's like, oh, well, but they stayed in power leagues. Like, well, but, yeah, but your recruiting base changes, right? You know, people want to be able to see their kids play. So you're not playing in North Carolina or Florida or, you know, Virginia anymore. Now you're playing over around the lakes. And he seemingly, you know, handled that almost seamlessly. I don't know. You know, I know everyone around here isn't just itching to talk Maryland basketball all day, but I do think he's done a really good job. And Gary Parrish called him one of the seven teams that really stands out above all the rest. And
well, yeah, you know, I agree. Don't you? I mean, I think they are. They're defensively a top 25 team. They've got a big. They've got a senior point guard. They've got nice wings. Their bench is developing. And I think they really kind of consider that maybe the one part of their team that needs further massaging here the last, you know, week and a half of the regular season or whatever we've got left. But they need a little bit of work on their bench. But they've got candidates, and I think they are definitely. Now, certainly KU is right in the top, is in the first sentence of that paragraph. But Maryland is a team that will cause a lot of problems. They're in first place in the Big Ten. And like Ohio State, right now they're projected to be in, but they've got, I think they're 8-9 or 7-8 in the Big Ten Conference after losing last night in Iowa City. So they're a game below 500, yet they're ranked as one of the best teams right now in the field of 68, as you project. So this conference is good, and Maryland is at the very top of that conversation in that conference. And defense has kind of been with nice players in place playing, you know, established roles that are making a difference.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. And the Big Ten is the deepest, and they're going to get a ton of teams in there. We'll see if any of them are championship caliber. Maryland, like we said, is one that certainly looks it. You know, Michigan State's disappointed, but, you know, it is a very deep, rugged conference. It just may be one that all is gone after the Elite Eight. I mean, that just is the way it works out. Do you think that this is a year, you know, Kansas, the knock on them has been not enough shooters. We're going to see a great game between Kansas and Baylor on Saturday, tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. For it. Do you think that they're now getting enough shooting? It seems like they're kind of, it's almost like duck, duck, goose. You know, one game it's Marcus Garrett, next game it's Devon Dotson. Do they have enough shooting in a year that the line's been moved back, making everybody a little bit worse, and maybe there isn't, you know, any great NBA talent, right? There's no Zion Williamson. There's no team. The Kentuckys and Dukes don't seem to have a team filled with, you know, two or three NBA starters on it. Does that mean that this is a better year for Kansas to go be just a rugged defensive team and try to take the title?
Yep, I like them. I right now, and I've watched them here last 2 weeks, certainly more closer than I have the rest of the year because we're winding up the NFL, and I was so wrapped up in that. But, yeah, last two-plus weeks I've watched a lot of what they've done. And I think if I'm Bill Self, you know, I like the fact that it's kind of spread around, as you were just talking about. And I love the defense is – and they have the defensive player of the year on their team, as we know, not just in the conference but nationally. He's outstanding. And I like the fact that they've got a different answer maybe every game. I think sometimes when you rely on – and one, you unless it's a very special player, if he's down, the rest of the team kind of goes, uh-oh. But not at KU. I think they've got, like you said, different guys and different nights, and they've all got that spurt that can really, you know, change and make them the guy that particular game. The game coming up against Baylor is going to be terrific, by the way. That has like a national semifinal feel to it. Baylor is the best team, and they have shown that. And The ranking says it, and their net ranking says it, and they're going to take. I mean, this is a terrific game coming up. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah.
But I do like Kansas a great deal, and you know, even with all the things swirling around college basketball and that program in particular, those kids, you know, have weathered injuries, and they've held tight, and they played a tough schedule. They've got the most net wins, I think, in quad one, quad two of any team in the country. They're terrific in almost every way. I'm bullish on KU.
Yeah, and listen, and it makes you know, Bill Self just under this dark cloud. I don't know, there's no other way to put it, but with the NCAA investigation going on, makes the job he's done all the more impressive that they are focused. And again, just like every year, they get better and better and better and better. I mean, not that anybody needs to remind anyone that Bill Self's a really good coach. You know, he's in the Hall of Fame and all, 700 career wins, coming up on 500 wins at Kansas. But it is just remarkable how it seemingly, no matter what adversity they have, they're still really, really good.
I just think, and you nailed something. They seem to get better and solidify every season that he coaches. And listen, he's had some unbelievable teams that have been very, you know, the team that stands out when that the two great backcourt kids they lost in Kansas City in the Sweet 16 to Oregon. And, you know, and that was painful. And people thought, you've got these two experienced guards. You know, Graham was back there, and I think Graham was the player of the year. I think Mason was the player of the year that year in the conference, and then Graham, I think, the year after. So you're talking about two Big 12 players of the year that were starting your backcourt, and they couldn't get by, you know, Alton's Oregon team and Kansas City. People thought, God, they're going to Kansas City. Who is it? Purdue and Michigan, I think, were in that in that particular region, and Oregon and KU. They thought, oh, my God, is this setting up great for Kansas? And they couldn't do anything. And you know, Michigan's had players like that. But Michigan, you know, when they had Beilein, they got better. I just think that's the mark of good coaches, that you take what you get. You find out who's playing, and kids are so mercurial. You don't know what you're going to get from game to game, sometimes month to month, from season to season. And so a coach figures that out as they go along the way. And in addition to that, you play a rugged schedule like KU has played, like these good teams do, and you see what the true colors of the kid is, and you maneuver. And Bill just seems to always have the right moves, right substitutions, right feel. And you can't take just one game and micromanage it, analyze it. But you can take the body of his work, and it's sensational. I mean, just what he does. And so I love your comment where, yeah, they get better as the season goes on because the coach knows exactly what he's got. And what he has in one kid 1 year doesn't translate what that same kid may produce or not produce the next year. And to get a feel for that and what he can and cannot do is really remarkable. And Bill does a great job with that.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking to Kevin Harlan here in the program. John Beilein, you mentioned. Is it back to college? I mean, that couldn't have gone any worse than it did. 54 games. Listen, I take no pleasure in it. That's it's too bad. I mean, I think it's clearly a niche he wanted to scratch. But you hate to see a guy leave a program that he had done such a great job and you know, making a perennial Big Ten contender and walk away. But they landed on their feet, as you mentioned earlier, with Juwan Howard. Where does he land now? I know they he's going to do something else in the organization. I think that's just a, try to, make him do some paperwork or something so that they feel better about paying him. I can't imagine what that's going to be. But ultimately, he's not going to get another NBA gig, I wouldn't think. So is it back to college, and where would be a good fit?
You know, he's 67. He is a grandfather. He had a heart scare a couple years ago, some pretty significant heart surgery. When he took this, I just thought at Michigan he had just done a marvelous job. They were really a program with great momentum. Not that they're not now, but when he was coaching, they were. They had made Final Fours. They had made the tournament all these years, and they had a consistency about their product that was good year in and year out, always a team that was favored to win the conference. I think he was frustrated from afar, not that I know anything. I think there were many things here. I think his health was a concern, and maybe his days were numbered in terms of how much he could put up with the rigors of coaching. And maybe he got tired of just dealing with, kids leaving early that probably shouldn't, like this Augustus kid who came in from Canada. His dad was like an NAIA fighter. He could have been a terrific Big Ten player, and he was as a freshman that quickly left for the money. I wonder if John didn't get frustrated with working, all these hours to recruit these good kids, and then they would flee and get 1 year out of them, and they really never absorbed maybe what you wanted. And you've got to have a kid in the program for a couple years to really understand the nuance of what you're doing on both ends. I wonder if that, he's a coach at heart, so he loves to teach. So I think that frustrated him. The health of the freshman. And maybe he thought, I need one big payday to kind of just put, he'd been a Division III coach a long time, Division II coach, and then had finally gotten this Michigan job. When it was at West Virginia, when they had Pittsnoggle, remember Pittsnoggle?
Right.
At West Virginia, he was a coach there, as we know. So, he had big programs, turned them around, did well. And but you know what I kind of think maybe now? I wonder if he wants to go back to like a smaller school, beautiful campus, someplace maybe on the east where he's from, and maybe just go back. I know his son is a rising coach, and had worked his way up, had been at Lemoyne where he had been as a head coach at one time and worked his way up. And I just wonder if John maybe would like to kind of finish his career without the stress of a Big Ten or major college program and go to a smaller school and, not recruit the top 50, top 75, top 100 kids and be frustrated when they leave early and go after the kids that are running from like 100 to 250. Get those kids to come in, teach a system, and enjoy coaching again. I just wonder if he got tired of the major college issues that you've got to deal with when you have a major program like Michigan and all the pressure that comes with it. I don't know that for sure. From afar, it looks that way.
Right. So let me throw – you just tell me if you think it'd be a good fit or not a good fit, right, for him. And I know it's early, but Vanderbilt – if they said, okay, we want to make a run. Because to me, he's a guy that even if you're with a new coach, like you could be like, we're going to eject because we know Beilein's going to win. And so like Vanderbilt would seem to be a fit. St. John's, he's from New York. So he's from the state of New York. I don't know in New York he's from. But St. John's, I know they just got, Mike Anderson. I don't know if they would pull the plug on that this fast. But if I were St. John's and I could get John Beilein, I'd be happy to write a big fat check to make the run at him. Indiana, would they say, hey, here's where we got to go, particularly when you got Nebraska loading up and, saying, hey, we're going to be serious. Rutgers is coming on. Like, does Indiana pull the plug and say, all right, we got to move quicker than we're moving right now and make this happen? Does Texas say, here you go, John. Here's a whole bunch of money. Wake Forest could be a possibility, not to run Danny Manning out, but Wake Forest and Georgia Tech have proven that they'd be serious about basketball. I know he's not from Texas, but if you are Texas, and Shaka Smart seemingly is barreling towards an exit at 5-8 in the league, could you do better than John Beilein right now?
Well, I just think his age is, 67 is still young, but in coaching terms, you're thinking about what is my 5-year horizon. As opposed to being a 60-year coach and you've got like a 10 to 12-year horizon, he's thinking 5, maybe. Does he want to go that long? He has the heart issue, as we talked about.
Right.
It's been corrected. And that would take him into his early 70s. And not that Texas needs a big turnaround. I think Shockey has kind of cleared the way. I hate the fact that Shaka Smart, by the way, is not that coach, or that Archie Miller isn't that coach at Indiana, because I got to tell you, right? I mean, I think you'd agree. When those guys were leaving their previous job, you think, this is a young coach that cannot miss, right? Wouldn't you think that with both those two guys? Like, these are guys that will turn around Indiana and Texas, and because they've done it at maybe a smaller school level, they will jump in there and they'll be incredibly successful. And the message they send and the way they've coached would just be like that. That's a no-brainer. But then you think, I mean, is John set up with the young kind of players that won't listen? They've got their eyes set on pro basketball, and they're not looking at the present. They're not looking at what they got in front of them. I don't know. That's a good question, Scott.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But wouldn't you think that, like, Shaka Smart and Archie Miller are, like, two guys that you could bank in and say, those are slam dunk selections. I can't even think of a better young coaches than those two guys to take over. Smart at Texas and Miller over at Indiana. I would just think those are guys that you'd say, give them 10 years and you watch what happens in the program.
I think, you know, their resume said that they looked really good. The only knock that we talked about with Shaka Smart when you look at what he did at VCU is the fact that he, you know, his resume was based upon having success in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, he really wasn't winning the league every year. He would just be good enough to get in the tournament, and then when he got there, he would do some damage. But at VCU, in conference, he finished tied for fifth, fourth, second, tied for fourth. And so, you know, particularly when you bring him in like, hey, I know something about beating Bill Self. That's what he said at the press conference. Or he was asked, how do you beat Bill Self? He goes, I think we know a little something about that. Or I know a little something about that. It's like, yeah, I mean, you got him once. But welcome to playing him at least two and maybe a third time in Kansas City every year. Let's see if you back that up, right?
Yeah.
I've always said it. I think the thing is, and you just never know till they get there. You know, like Gary Patterson's win percentage, he's done a really nice job at TCU. It's not near as high as it was when they were in the Mountain West. Like, it's one thing to coach Boise and sting a Georgia in the first game of the year on a neutral field or sting an Oklahoma, you know, in a bowl game that OU doesn't really want to be playing in. It's another thing to line up and play Oklahoma after you just played Bill Snyder in K-State, you know, a rugged Iowa State team that runs the ball, Texas Tech throwing it all over the field, and you have Texas on the other side of OU. It's another thing to line up and beat them like that, right? You know, I mean, I think we fall in love with a bowl win for the non-Power 5 teams that pile up, you know, the 11-1 or you know, 10-2 record, and we go, wow, but boy, just imagine if they were in that league. Yeah, if they were in that league, they'd be around 500, right? And I think it's the same thing in basketball. We get excited when they make those runs. You know, who was the guy, was it Gross, G-R-O-C-E, who was like an assistant at Michigan State? John Gross, yeah, went to, was it Ohio U? I think wasn't even going to make the tournament, but won his league tournament back-to-back years. And one year he went to the Sweet 16, and one year he got another win and went to the round of 32, and he got the Illinois job. And I thought, this guy's going to rock the house, man. He has the blueprint from being up there at Michigan State with Tom Izzo. He's going to lay that blueprint down at Illinois and watch this guy go. And nope, he's fired. You know, I mean, it's you just don't know till they get up there. It is definitely the pond is bigger, and it's a different kind of swimming, and you don't know if they're going to be able to figure it out until they get in there.
True, and, you know, it's with Shaka, too, at VCU, it was all defense. Remember that? That they play that full court. It's hard to get these upper echelon kids to buy into that kind of defense, whereas if you go to the smaller school like he was at, you know, you look for that kind of kid in high school, maybe limited offensively, but he's got length and he's athletic and he can do all these different things, and you can make him and plug him into your defensive scheme, and he's going to work. And again, going back to Bill Self, who seems to get all these kind of kids. Now, listen, you've got Kansas, or if you're Calipari, you got Kentucky, and you got these big, terrific schools the kids look at, and they said, boy, look at all the NBA kids that have come from Kentucky or from Kansas. And that helps recruiting. You get those kind of kids, and then you sell them on your program and the style you play, and you get the most of them. And Bill relates so well to these kids. That's the other thing, you know, about relating to these kids. You know, I think like Miller, for instance, when he was at Dayton, you know, that was one of the things. He's a great communicator. He gets him to play hard, on. And for Indiana, he just seemed to make, you know, perfect sense. And, you know, his family is in coaching, and his brother was there in Arizona. All the stuff that you start to connect the dots, he's the perfect choice. And I really thought for like Texas, like in your mind you think, how can't Texas get like at least three of the top seven kids in that state every single year? How can any other school, unless you got a hard push from Kentucky or Duke, you know, you should be able to get three of the top seven or eight kids every single year in that state. And I'd have to go back and look at his recruiting, but I'd be surprised if he failed. Maybe he has. Maybe that's why the program just can't find its way. I'm shocked that they have not done better at Texas with him. I just, again, I thought when they hired him. But you're right. I mean, you just don't know until you get there and how you react. And coaching, you're right. And these conferences are a lot different than coaching in the EMAC or the MEAC or the you know, whatever. You know, whatever conference you're going to pick, just it's a different game. So I don't know if you, you know, it's hit or miss. Kind of like drafting players in the NFL and the NBA. I was talking with, not to drop names, but I was Charles Barkley the other night at the All-Star thing in Chicago. We were riding back on the back to the hotel, and we were talking about kids that he thought were can't-miss kids in the NBA. So we're talking about Mo Bamba. He said, I thought Mo Bamba would come into the NBA, and he would be unbelievable. He said, I was wrong. I misjudged that kid. He said, well, it looks like a lot of people misjudged him, too. And so, you know, it's just, I guess like with players, you recruit or draft, same with coaches, you think you've got the right chemistry, right recipe, right guy, and for whatever reason, it doesn't mix, it doesn't match. And that seems to be some of the issues in some of these schools, even with schools like Texas and Indiana, where you think you're recruiting in the state of Texas, you're recruiting in the state of Indiana. Now, one thing, you know, that like is El Turgeon, going back to Mark, is that Baltimore, D.C. area, that Washington, D.C., Baltimore, they're loaded with great college basketball players, great high school players that have gone on to be terrific college basketball players. So he's got a very fertile recruiting base. Now, listen, every coach has got their downside, and Mark actually lost these two twins, the Mitchell twins, in December. They transferred, but they were highly thought of recruits when they went in that program, and they came as a package deal. Now, and they left in December. So, you know, but I did see just had a great guard out of that area, too, as a top 50 kid. So it's hard to say, you know, what you get, and you recruit the best you can. You do the best you can, but sometimes, right, your resume does not reflect what happens once you take over a program with more notoriety and is at the middle of that stage and has a lot brighter, a light cast on it.
I agree with Charles. I thought that Mo Bamba was going to be a stud as well. And you know what? I don't think we're wrong. I blame the coaches in Orlando. You know, they don't use him properly. Chuck and I were right. I hope he doesn't mind if I call him Chuck.
No,
but I think when I'm agreeing with him, that'll be okay. We were correct in our assessment. They're just not using him right. That's going to be my cop-out for why it didn't work.
Well, let's see what happens here. We got, you know, there were 24, 25 games left in the regular season in the NBA, and we'll see if anything happens. I'll tell you what, on that Orlando team, they got that Aaron Gordon, man. He's a terrific player. Terrific player.
That is Kevin Harlan with us here in the program. We are live at Hen House, as they have at all Hen House locations. We're here at 87th Street in Lenexa, 15,000 87th Street. If you want to GPS it and come on by, check out their great sparkling waters, CBD American Shaman's new sparkling waters. You can try the sparkling coconut water with grapefruit or the sparkling watermelon juice with strawberry lime at any Hen House. Come by and say hello. We come back, we'll talk about the new NFL schedule, more playoff teams, more games, the 17th game. It's coming. We'll talk about that with Kevin Harlan next here on the program.
The program with Seren Petro.
You should be in a little better shape than you're in right now.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Seren Petro with you as we are live at Hen House. Come on by and check out the CBD American Shaman new sparkling waters. All the Hen House locations have them. Two great flavors, sparkling coconut water with grapefruit and sparkling watermelon juice with strawberry lime. You can get it now at your neighborhood Hen House. We're at 15,000 West 87th Street. That's where you can find us here in Lenexa. Find them online at CBDAmericanShaman.com. And don't forget, at all your CBD American Shaman locations, 30% off. Just until 6 o'clock, so get there right now, about a half hour, for you to take advantage of this CBD American Shaman. Till 6 o'clock only, 30% off on every one of their great products. Check it out right now. We're talking to Kevin Harlan about the NFL. A 17th game, Kevin. Seventh team on each side of the playoff bracket. A seventh team in the AFC, one in the NFC. Listen, that's two extra playoff games, and that's 16 more football games. I got a buddy who's telling me, yeah, I don't really like it. I'm not really for it. I'm like, wait a minute, aren't you telling me you're always depressed when the football season's over? This is more football. I don't understand. How can you not like this? What's not to like about this, Kevin?
First of all, it's one less preseason game, which is great. Yes. They don't need four preseason. That to me was the number one get. Three preseason games. You don't need four. Players aren't playing. Starters aren't playing. They're hard to watch. And if you love football, you know, that one last game, I think these guys going into training camp have a pretty good projection on their 53 or 54, 50, what is 63, whatever it is, when you include the other squad practice.
Right.
I get that. I understand all that and the mechanics of that. And I enjoyed watching battles for the backup left guard and the third and fourth wide receiver. And I enjoyed that, but I'm kind of a football nerd. That being said, I do think three games make sense. It was hard to conjure up excitement for preseason games. And if you're going to then add a game and take that game and put it in the regular season, I get that. What I did not like was adding a playoff team to each conference, and I did not like taking away the second-best record bye in the first weekend. Because more times than not, your top two teams are going to make it through. They've got to play extra games, and so now you're just making that second-place team, in this instance it would have been the Chiefs, playing another playoff game when they really shouldn't have to. And I know it, you know, I just don't like it. I like the playoff format the way it is. And now they're going to make that second team, the second place team, with no bye. And I can appreciate the team that wins the conference getting that first weekend off. But I think that second team, because these teams are so close, they're so close, and you've got 4 months to figure out who the top six teams are. You've got 4 months of the regular season with every game meaningful. That should be enough to figure this out. And I think that when you go – and now we're going to add a 17th game. So if you got 17 games, that second bye becomes even more important. So I don't know. That's the one thing that I did not – understand. I don't know how the players are going to react to having, you know, still not gotten the 50-50 split, because I know that's important to them. They're still not at 50 from what I read and what I hear. But I don't know, Saran. I think getting rid of the preseason game was good. It doesn't matter to me about the 17th game. That's fine. Good. That's great. Great. But it was the extra playoff team that I just had a hard time with. I just felt like, I don't know about that. I thought it was, you know, like it made that week 17 game 16 Chiefs Charger game so great because you're fighting for the bye, and people know historically what that bye means. That bye means that more times than not, you're going to get to the championship game. You need that week of rest. You're the best. You're just by a hair not the best team in your conference, but deserve and get that break. And that was huge. And I'm sure the Chiefs would go back and say, having that week off was dynamite for us. We got guys healthy. They got to kind of exhale a little bit. You know, we got so much accomplished in that time. And now you're going to take that away from the team that finishes number two in the conference. I don't know. I don't, that's the part I did not like.
We're talking to Kevin Harlan here on the program. Time for our Final Four, brought to you by the Kansas City Orthopedic Institute. They've got an ortho urgent care that's open 7 days a week. Also very proud to have received the 2019 Prescani Guardian of Excellence Award. That's given for patient experience. You can learn more by visiting kcoi.com or by calling 913-319-7633. Kevin, I will start you with this. Do you look forward to calling the Jaguars in London?
Yeah, I do, because it's a great trip. Yeah, like the football is almost secondary because the trip is such a boondoggle. It's so great. I think the league is going to have games over there. They built a stadium in Tottenham, and there are going to be games over there. And that 17th game, and you mentioned it earlier, Saran, that extra game, that's what it's going to be used for. You know, some years you're going to have eight home games. Some years you're going to have nine home games. maybe you're going to have just the eight, and it's always going to be that wild card game, that extra game is going to be in Mexico City. It's going to be in Toronto. It's going to be who knows where. But London is happening, and it's in full force, and this is a big plan of the league with this extra game to make this happen. So the teams like Green Bay, who, you know, they don't want to give up a home game because that means so much to the community.
Right.
And teams that have them on the road don't want them to go because they always sell out the stadium because of the Green Bay Packers, like the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
Those teams always sell out the stadium. And so, it's going to be huge. So, yeah, but do I like calling Jacksonville in London? I don't think they'll ever be the London Jaguars. I think they're always going to have a presence.
I do. I think it's coming.
Do you really?
Yeah. I've been told that what they want to do and is they want an 8-game schedule over there to sell a season ticket in London and then to kind of train the fans, like, this is how it works as a season ticket holder. And the Jacksonville's going from 1-2, and I think you'll see a 4-4 coming up, and then they're going to be the first team. Whether they'll be the only team, but listen, Shad Khan owns Wembley Stadium, right? It's coming.
I don't think he bought it. I thought maybe he did not buy that. I thought at the last minute.
Oh, really?
Maybe Curtis can look that up real quick. I think that fell through.
Okay, I'll look it up.
I know he was trying to buy it, and then something happened. And I think because the league put so much into the renovation of Tottenham and rebuilt that, which is on historic ground in the London area as well, they said, all right, let's work. But I
you're
think
right.
Itself,
yep, withdraws his bid.
Okay, yeah. And I don't know how much the league persuaded him to do that because of what Tottenham was going to be. I do think you're right. I think Jacksonville will always play more games over there. But I can't help but think, at least in the next 5 to 7 years, that they're still not going to have a presence in Jacksonville. But you know what? You could be dead right. I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Have you watched the XFL yet?
No. XFL. Are you kidding me? The XFL. Oh my God. There's not enough talent in the NFL. And what you're doing, you're taking the guys that have all been cut, basically, and you're putting them in that league. No, none of these other leagues have ever survived. I don't get it. But they've got networks in back of them. And that alone may keep them solvent, but I just don't see it. Their ratings fell dramatically, didn't they, from week one to week two? Did I read that correctly?
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. There's always they we'll see. They've got work to be done. I mean, it's just beginning now. But
now I do think they've got some innovative ideas showing the very transparent, you know, ruling of the penalties and things like that. There's a lot of things the NFL can adapt and bring to adopt into their game. And adapt to their play, but XFL. My gosh, I can't even spell XFL, but let alone watch it.
ECKS. ELL.
Yeah.
Thank you. God bless, Curtis. God bless.
Actually, it's a new kind of it's a heart medicine. XFL.
Yeah.
Ask your doctor if XFL is right for you.
You'll bleed out of your eyes and your ears, but it's healthy for most people.
Yes. Now listen to our 7 minutes of disclaimers. May cause you uncontrollable diarrhea. May make you go broke. May, you know.
Meanwhile, it's a couple walking in a field of lilies.
Yeah. Your head may explode.
They find two bathtubs in the field of lilies.
Yes, exactly. Your head may explode. Your pet's heads might fall off. If you experience any of these symptoms, tough. You asked for it. All right. Did Aaron Gordon get robbed in the dunk contest?
Yes. Oh, that kid was great. And he's done it two times, and both times he's gotten robbed. I thought the bounce off the side of the backboard, grabbed it with one hand, stayed afloat, and spun completely around with a monstrous dunk. Tom, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
One of the best dunks I've ever seen. He did get robbed.
Yeah, he was very good. Very good. All right, and how many times are the Kansas City Chiefs a number one seed the next 10 years? This is why I don't mind this rule, because I think it's going to benefit the Chiefs. I think they're going to be the number one seed a lot.
I agree. I would say, and we had this conversation about Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay 10 years ago. We had the conversation a couple weeks ago about what they thought about Rodgers 10 years ago. But that being said, this kid is Aaron Rodgers 2.0. He does a little bit more in all areas. I would say in the next 10 years, all things being equal, I would say at minimum 4 and maybe as many as 7. I mean, I think that the ceiling's unlimited. I really do. I think the ceiling's unlimited for him. I think he single-handedly, we saw it a couple weeks ago, he can single-handedly change a game. And there are not many players that can do that and can change a season. And he is one of those special, unique, generational type talents.
The ceiling on the entertainment value of the Kevin Harlan segment is unlimited, and yet you seem to exceed it every single week. Kevin?
Well, it's all the pre-production we do for this segment,
that's
right?
That's right. Yes. Are you ready? Yes. Okay, here we go. Kevin, you are the man. We appreciate it. We'll let you get back to work, and we'll talk to you next week.
Great. Saran, Curtis, great to be on with you guys. Have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you next Friday. I'm at WHP.
The program with Saran Petro.
You will not like me, but the more you hate me, the more you will learn.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'm going to tell you what you need to know.
All right, first off, you need to know CBD American Shamans. New sparkling waters are available at all your neighborhood hen houses. Two great flavors, sparkling coconut water with grapefruit and sparkling watermelon juice with strawberry lime. You can pick it up, and we are wrapping things up here at Hen House at 15,000 West 87th Street. But tomorrow, they will be back. You can sample the wonderful sparkling waters, ask questions, learn about all the benefits that come with CBD American Shaman products. And, of course, Neil Smith going to be signing autographs here at this Hen House from noon to 2. So one of the best defensive linemen to ever play for the Kansas City Chiefs. Neil Smith, good guy. On top of it all, he will be here signing autographs. So do not miss it. Thanks to all our friends here at Hen House. Of course, always great specials at Hen House. Go to henhouse.com to find the location nearest you and see the specials. I invite you to get signed up for that weekly email as well. So CBD American Shaman and Hen House, two great Kansas City companies, two great partners of Sports Radio 810 WHB coming together. Some other things you need to know before we go. Markieff Morris.
My bad.
I said Markieff Morris.
And I said, my bad.
You wrote the Markieff Morris story on the need to know, and you don't have the old friend alert?
Curtis is doing it. I blew it. It's a Friday, man.
That is a sickly moose that's
it does.
Been.
Yeah.
Been.
Of all my impressions, a foghorn is, or whatever that's supposed to be. The alarm horn is not working.
Markieff Morris headed to the Los Angeles Lakers after getting released, a release he wanted. So he will go team up with LeBron. Good move, bad move for the Lakers.
A good move, I guess. They'll figure it out. They'll find a way to make it work. Big body.
A big man that can stretch the floor. It is a good move for them. The Bears have released wide receiver Taylor Gabriel. This is one of their big moves. And cornerback Prince Amukamara, according to a source. So both of them will be moving on. Those are guys that they thought were really going to solidify the team. They now walk away. And the NFL is now going to have some stadiums allowing betting lounges. So they can make some wagers.
There you go.
Are you good with being able to bet at the game?
Yes. If you can bet, bet everywhere.
You can bet anywhere.
Bet everybody.
And listen, I'm not saying we're rooting for injuries for other teams, but Indians right here, Carlos Carrasco, diagnosed with a mild strain of his right hip flexor. He battled cancer last year. They traded Corey Kluber. Mike Clevenger is already hurt. The Indians pitching, which was so deep and such a strength, kind of faltering here before the season gets going. Maybe it opens the door to a Cinderella season for the Royals.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
Believe.
Nah.
Should Not yet. Podemos.
Not yet. Not yet. We'll see you Monday.
Jed Marshall.
So I deeply apologize to the Clarks.
Curtis Seabolt.
I think throughout my career, I always did appreciate and I patronize all the people there in Columbia.
So Ren Petro.
I've seen Quentin smoke some balls.